It seems that a lot of the articles and things that are out there are for like mid-tier and top-tier churches, which we aren't even in. But like, it was like, okay, you know, if you want a live stream, you need this, you know, Black Magic video encoder that's going to cost you about 500 euros. And like, in this high-end PC and all these things, which like actually isn't necessary.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey guys, welcome to the Expositors Collective podcast. This episode is an interview that I did with fellow elder and also AV guy at Calvary Cork, Ricky Ponce. Now, we just talk about the relationship that a main teaching pastor could and should have with the AV team. The reason why we're putting this out is because there's been more depending on technology and live streams than ever before. Churches are switching to exclusively online. Churches are streaming through all different kinds of platforms. And I know of a good few of you that have had technical problems that have kept the live stream from going out. So we talk about ways that we can get the message out further and faster and faithfully during this conversation. So thanks again to Ricky, and honestly, seriously, thank you so much to all of the AV teams, all the AV guys, all the AV girls. We always appreciate you, and perhaps especially during this current crisis and situation. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast, maybe send this on to the AV team. And listen attentively as well. All right, cool. God bless you, and really hope the best for you during these times.
Well, hey, Ricky, how are you?
Hey, Mike. Doing great, man.
Welcome to the Expositors Collective podcast.
I'm so glad to be here.
I've wanted you on here for a long time. We've been talking about it for months. I want you one day to talk about bivocational, preaching bivocationally.
Yeah, I'm up for it.
But not today. What are we doing today?
So today we are, talking about live streaming your church service, which we actually just did about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, we just finished up our second ever, quarantine service, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've been live streaming for years, but yes, this is our first, you know, mandatory live stream service, if you will.
Yeah. Well, and it went well. This time we incorporated musical worship into it for the first time, which probably added a layer of complexity for you, but I think a benefit for others. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was definitely a nice touch. It definitely like was missed last time. I think people felt that.
Yeah.
And it was definitely worth, the kind of extra loophole. It wasn't too much.
Okay.
But it's just, you know, one little loophole to go through again. But ultimately, I think it was like, definitely worth it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it also was one more germy person in the room.
There's that as
which,
well.
Which I actually, like, I kind of interviewed Kian first. I was like, listen, are you practicing social distancing? Are you doing this and that? What about your wife? What's Katie doing? Because I don't want to get sick.
Yeah.
So we were in contact with one more person, which increases our risk factor. But the live stream's worth it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So tell us, what should preachers know? Like, so again, you're a preacher, but you, I guess, on more Sundays than not, end up like doing AV stuff as well.
Yep.
What do you think preachers who are not AV guys should know about audiovisual and streaming stuff?
I think first that it is possible.
Okay.
Like, you know, you can use your smartphone to live stream from. You can use whatever you have. I've recently been doing research and trying to see how we can make our stream better. And, you know, there's tons of information out there at this time, specifically for the times we're in, for, you know, coronavirus. And, you know, for a lot of churches, this is their first time stepping into live streaming. And I was kind of like, not discouraged, but I was just like, oh, you know why? It seems that a lot of the articles and things that are out there are for like mid-tier and top-tier churches. which we aren't even in. But like, it was like, okay, you know, if you want a live stream, you need this, you know, Blackmagic video encoder that's going to cost you about 500 euros and like in this high end PC and all these things, which like actually isn't necessary.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So you and me, we're punk rockers.
We are.
So there's a DIY ethic, which means that we kind of, you know, at least in our younger formative years, just kind of learned to make do with less or even embraced kind of making things work.
Yeah.
So do you think your punk rock ethic is influencing your...
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Because like, you know, for us, you know, we're not a big church. We have budgets that we have to stay within. And of course, you know, I want to try and do the best of my ability to make it as best as possible, like production wise, but then also, you know, not costing the church an arm and a leg because, you know, there's probably other better resources that we could use for it. Not that it's not important because as you know, like, this is what I do. I think it's important.
Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, you don't need to drop, you know, $2,000 for your first live streaming setup.
Yeah. So yeah, it's your punk rock upbringing and ethics, maybe that's helping you to do things on the cheap.
Yeah.
And also, it's our unlimited budget.
Yeah. We are confined to how much we can buy.
Yeah. So that's we're working together. But, you know, I've always said that I think when it comes to like AV and especially with like putting content out there, I think our church really punches above its weight. I think actually this is proven in the past couple of weeks. There's a lot of churches our size and even bigger that don't have a fraction of the experience or the know-how to do what we've been doing for years and years. So it's been great to have a bigger reach than sometimes it feels like we should have.
Yeah.
But it's a great way to expand things. And it serves people. Now in this crisis, you know, on the one hand, we have people in our own church that are like, let's say, ill or have disabilities that aren't able to come to church. And so that's been a big motivation to even just serve those that are unable to travel or unable to leave their home. But now all of a sudden, that's everyone.
Yeah.
So
we're all in the same boat now.
Yeah. So it's been something that we've been trying to serve a small group of people with. And then now all of a sudden, it's everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're saying that people should know that it's possible to do it on the cheap.
Yeah, definitely. And like, there's also like so many little tweaks that you can do to it. Like even if you're doing it from an iPhone to make it better, like we actually started doing it like with our iPhone. And then we kind of just bought a little adapter that allowed us to, you know, plug in the audio from our mixer like straight into the phone. And that was like $25. And so like something like that, like upped our kind of our game in the streaming area. Just, you know, it wasn't a whole lot, but it was enough to where people were like, oh, I could actually hear Mike.
Right. Okay. So what do you think are some mistakes that people should avoid, especially those that are newer to live streaming?
I'd say definitely like, if you're a pastor and you have like an AV team, I would say like make it a point to meet up with them to figure out kind of what your limitations are, because there will be limitations at some stage, whether it's your hardware, what you're using to record with, or budget or whatever it may be. But I'd say, because a lot of times what we have in our head, like isn't actually what we can produce. So I'd say definitely for pastors, meet with your AV guys, ask them what's possible and where you can improve on, and try and come up with just like a middle ground.
Okay. Because our you know, in our discussions or like oftentimes what happens is I say, let's just do it quick. Let's just get it out there.
Yeah.
And you often say, no, let's do it right.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, in my mind, I don't care about frame rates. I don't care about whatever. It just got to get out there. And you see the bigger picture, which is frame rates matter and lighting matters and these types of things matter. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, why I'm so kind of picky about these things is because I'm also trying to keep in mind not just our congregation, because our congregation will be okay with lower quality. But the person who tunes into us, who doesn't go to our church, the average person is concerned with quality. And You know, there is that frame rate that, not frame, you got me talking about frame rates. There's that phrase that you hear all the time is content over quality. And that made sense for a lot of like, sorry, I have to do it again. That made sense for, you know, a while, but like now we're kind of in the age of the YouTube generation.
Okay.
And a lot of the emphasis is like, I guess you could say the bar has been raised.
Okay.
So that we have to compete with a lot of content that's out there. And so like, yes, like if you're on an iPhone and that's all you have, like go ahead and do it.
Okay.
But if you have the ability to make your quality better, then that's going to help people's retention rate for viewing you.
Yeah.
And it's going to help further spread the message that you're preaching on Sunday, you know, the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, but that being said, you said that it's okay to just use an iPhone if that's all that we have.
If that's all that you have, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to tell us about what our church has been doing on the midweek devotionals, which has been, you know, less high quality.
Yeah.
But has been meeting a specific need.
Yeah. So what we've been doing as elders is every day we have taken turns doing a live stream on Facebook, just a little devo talking about, you know, the times we're in related to anxiety and fear. And, you know, it hasn't been a fancy setup for any of us, even me. Like I had a fancy setup and I was just like, no, I'm just gonna do it from my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, yeah, we've just been talking on our iPhones too. We have a localized Facebook group only for our church members. And so we've just been posting it there and it's been great. Like the interactions has been just like people tuning in. We let them know beforehand and commenting and kind of being able to interact with people, because I think it's really important to not only live stream your Sunday services, but do kind of figure out something to do midweek as well.
Yeah. 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 I guess we're this episode and then the previous one with David Guzik, the focus has been how do we have good quality sermon audio that goes out.
Mm.
But Christianity and discipleship and pastoring is so much more than like a good sermon that goes out.
Yeah.
And so in this, however long this COVID-19 thing lasts, like we need to be creative. We need to be making ways to keep in touch with people one-on-one, but also in groups.
Yeah.
And so, I think that our private Facebook group is a real asset. And I would encourage pastors and preachers and church leaders to maybe consider, it's not maybe enough to just have a Facebook page, but you can make a group, because I think one of the reasons why I have such high interaction on the Instagram lives that we do inside that group is that people in the back of their mind, they know that the algorithm isn't going to show that to their dentist or to their old classmate from secondary school. And so it gives them, there's a little bit of kind of, we're in this together.
Yeah.
And this is almost like a private discussion. It's a public but private discussion.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage churches to look into the Facebook private groups.
Yeah, definitely.
So have you talked about mistakes to avoid, which is what, spending too much money? Any other mistakes to avoid?
I mean, if you have money, you can spend it.
Yeah.
let me see. Mistakes to avoid.
Well, here's a question.
Okay.
So if someone's doing, like, let's say even an iPhone thing, if that's all they have, should they do it on selfie mode or should they turn it around and aim it at themselves? Because isn't the better camera?
Yeah, your better camera is usually on the back.
Yeah.
So like, I probably would say like, yeah, that would be good. It might require you like having like another person,
a friend,
a screened friend come and be able to tap it for you. Or, you know, you can set it up, record a video, and then just like play it back and see if you're in frame.
Hmm.
So there's ways to do it. Or if you have your laptop, you can adjust things like.
Okay. And laptop screens are better than phone screens usually? I'm sorry, cameras?
It depends on like on when you bought it, but like, I mean, cell phones these days are like amazing. Fun. If you have like an iPhone 11 or something like that, like you have no problems, man.
Okay. So you talked to me, you said that you've been learning lately, and this is like depressing or wonderful. You said lately your lessons you've been learning have to do with lowering your standards.
Yes.
So tell us about, what does it mean about you've been lowering your standards lately?
As we've already said, like I have pretty high standards when it comes to video and things like that. you know, as like a filmmaker, like I you know, want to have the best quality, you know, available that I can put whatever it is that I'm working on at the time. But yeah, just having to take that humble blow and learn how to lower your standards so that it can be more accessible to people. So like, take for example, last week we were streaming, and I kind of prioritized, like, in the way that we had our setup rig, to have the best, you know, video quality. And so it was sharp, but I'm also using a bit of a dated laptop to stream from. And so what happened is we're having drop frames in our stream where you would pause for a second and then it would catch up to you.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, I didn't really like that. And so I was like, you know what, this week I'm just going to prioritize kind of like the consistency. And so, you know, what I had to do in that is I had to lower our quality on video. So it wasn't as crisp as before, but we had zero drop frames today.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of have to learn like where you can give more and where you can, you know, take away from to try and come up with something that is going to be like as stable as possible for the people watching.
Yeah. Okay. So the stand, yeah, because it's better to have an okay thing that works well than a great thing that is temperamental or inaccessible. And the whole point of this, especially now, is we want to give people access.
Yeah. That's key. And like, yeah, like our audio was still good. And like the video is still like definitely like watchable. And like it doesn't look like we're filming from like a potato or anything.
Yeah.
but it was still good. It just, like, you know, wasn't, you know, at the top we technically could have had it.
Okay. Well, I think that's almost it. Any final closing thoughts? What do you think that preachers who aren't AV people need to hear? Anything for AV people dealing with preachers with unrealistically high standards or too low standards?
I'd say a good resource, because like I've been looking for like lots of church-based resources for streaming, and like I said, you can get it, but it's all going to be like at a higher kind of price point. What I've actually found, like, the best place to look for streaming like content is to keep an eye on Twitch gamers, actually.
Is that right? Okay.
Because here you have a group of people who are generally younger. They generally don't have a whole lot of money to invest in their computer rigs, and they're kind of trying to do it DIY style.
Okay.
So they come up with some genius solutions.
Is that right?
And how to get good quality at a low budget. And so, like, I've actually just been like, I don't watch usually Twitch streamers, but I've kind of been watching, you know, some people putting on their videos on how to work OBS, how to work, how to, you know, fine tweak it to be compatible to YouTube when you have like a really low end computer. So they actually, I found, have put out a lot of really great content that would definitely help lower end churches who don't have a high budget.
Wow. So you're saying Twitch gamers are the new punk rockers.
They are.
Okay. Who'd have thought? But look at us. Here we are. Okay. Wow. Yeah. That's a good tip. And do you want to mention, like you've said, there's some like Facebook groups out there of like church AV guys, and they're giving tips and tricks.
Yeah. One second. Let me just pull it up on the groups that I have. Because yeah, like Facebook has been a really good resource for, especially like, because I also do our social media stuff. So like on Instagram, like people have been sharing, you know, posts and sharing graphics. So it's, and also like live stream, like tips are there as well. So one of the ones I'm in is Pro Church Media Community. Another one is Church Creatives. And I'd say those are probably the two biggest ones that I've been kind of going to, just to see specifically how people are advising one another on live streaming things.
Excellent. Yeah, it's great. I mean, we've kind of talked about this, Ricky, about like during this crisis, like it's been great to see people like not hoarding information, but sharing tips, and, you know, amongst the church, particularly people, everyone wants to help everyone else.
Yeah.
And then even, you know, we were talking about Zoom, how they, you know, raise the limit on free stuff. You know, it's so nice, you know, that people aren't hoarding. Maybe some people are hoarding toilet paper, but other people are not hoarding information on how to access good technology, how to benefit people during this time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's so encouraging seeing, like, especially in the church community, of just like people just being, hey, you know, I spent, you know, 5 hours making this like little video bumper intro, but have it for free if you can use it.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's great. Well, thanks for your time on this. I hope that this benefits preachers who aren't AV guys and AV guys who aren't preachers to see how this gap can be bridged. And then also, if you're a preacher listening to this, like, send it on. Like, this is, you know, send this to somebody else. And then likewise, we want to contribute in some small way to just the expanding knowledge and experience of the church dealing with this crisis. So that's it. Hope this and all that we do at the Expositors Collective helps you to grow in your personal study and your live stream proclamation of God's Word. Awesome.